Welcome. This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And I'm James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com, and we both welcome you back to a brand new episode of The New World next week, which, of course, you can find all the information you need, sources cited, audio, video, and so much more at NewWorldNextWeek.com. James, this just in, apparently there's a state of war on the Korean peninsula, and in other news, Singing in the Rain is doing boffo box office. Yes, the situation in the Korean peninsula has been in a state of war for 60 years. However, it has heated up quite quickly over the last week or so. James, the latest I have right now, just an hour or two ago, and as I come to you, April 3rd, 2013, from businessinsider.com, North Korean Army says it has final approval for nuclear attack on U.S. North Korea Army has announced that it has gotten the final approval necessary to launch nuclear weapons on U.S. targets. Yonhap News says that in a statement, the North's Supreme Military Command said it is formally notifying the White House and the Pentagon that reckless operations involving cutting-edge nuclear weapons have finally been approved. Most analysts put North Korea's nuclear weapons capability years away from a reliable rocket, warhead, and re-entry vehicle, all needed for the cutting-edge strike. Furthermore, this announcement is eerily similar to several others coming out of state-owned media, KCNA, and the North Korea administration over the past month. Perhaps it's in response to the new Secretary of War Hagel's announcement of the placement of missile defense batteries in Guam, calling North Korea rhetoric a clear and present danger. And James, we do have the other notes, U.S. to deploy anti-missile system to Guam. And here's one interesting to you about North Korea's threats. Show that Canada needs to be a part of the U.S. Missile Defense Pact. And James, I think what a lot of it is heating up over, at least over the last 24, 36 hours, is now North Korea vowing to restart their shuttered plutonium reactor. What do you think, James?
Well, I talked about this on a few different programs now, and I'm starting to sound like a broken record, but I'm not particularly panicked about this. And if I was on the American mainland or in Canada, I wouldn't be panicked at all about this, because obviously the only missiles that North Korea has that would even potentially be able to reach you out there, the Taipodong 2 or 3, are pretty much ridiculous pea shooters. I mean, they could theoretically get there, but that's quite theoretical at this point. And even if they could get there, they have no accuracy. And even if they could get there with any accuracy, they don't have a nuclear warhead that would be able to put on one of those missiles. So there's nothing, I mean, that they could do at this moment to strike at the American mainland. So any of that kind of talk is just complete hot air at this point. I mean, the most that we could expect to see from this situation, I think realistically, would be some sort of North Korea attempted invasion of South Korea or something along those lines. But of course, as we've talked about before, that would be complete suicide for this regime. So if they are thinking about committing suicide, I guess that would be one way to do it. But it doesn't make sense from any angle. I think the real issue here is exactly what you point to, Hagel talking about missile defense on Guam, or the expanded missile, the interceptors at Fort Greely in Alaska, the billions and billions and billions that are being pumped in to the missile defense and the various systems as a result of this. Again, it's just a blank check for the defense contractors, and it's a convenient situation for all those people involved who want to keep the focus on this area, which tends to be the Pentagon and its allies at this point.
So, Jay, it was just under a week ago, James, that as it felt like everybody around me was starting to freak out about the North Korea situation. So I just kind of calmly went over and sent you a message. And I believe I said exactly, I was like, dude, should I be worried about North Korea? And your response was, no, you should not be worried about North Korea. And we kind of chatted it out. And I think we both agreed that while I wouldn't put anything past my own tyrannical government staging a provocation or even, you know, some kind of false flag event, when it comes down to it, James, we know that just over a decade ago, our good buddy Don Rumsfeld helped North Korea get nuclear reactors. So when we're all freaking out about, oh, maybe they have nuclear reactors, which may or may not be connected to the grid, and of course China and Russia may or may not have had something to do with more nukes in the intervening years, but it's just a lot of talk.
pretty much. The restarting of the reactor, if that happens, is going to be a big event because they only have enough plutonium for six to eight of those types of mini nuclear firecrackers that we've seen them testing in recent years. So if they restart the reactors, they would be able to replenish that supply. But other than that, I don't think there's a lot that's happening lately that's been anything other than just talk, such as the scrapping of the armistice or whatever else has come out of this so far.
Mm-hmm. So, James, we'll, of course, continue to kind of keep a watch on that story, but, of course, there are a million other things going on as well. An interesting one, James, for our second story, we'll cover a lot of territory, and again, we grab this from Business Insider. James, a ridiculous number of Americans believe in crazy conspiracy theories. Apparently, the public policy polling company is out with a new series of results from a survey it conducted on Americans' beliefs in various conspiracy theories. And some of these, according to Business Insider, are rather surprising. So, James, let me just kind of run down the list. They included Romney voters more agreed this way, and Obama vote. I dumped all that stuff out because that's all a bunch of crap. So 37% of voters believe global warming is a hoax. 6% think Osama is still alive. 21% of voters say a UFO crashed in Roswell, New Mexico in 1947 and the U.S. government covered it up. 28% of voters believe secretive power elite with a globalist agenda is conspiring to eventually rule the world through an authoritarian world government or new world order. 28% of voters believe Saddam was involved in 9/11. 20% of voters think there's a link between vaccines and autism. 7% think the moon landing was fake. 13% think Obama's the Antichrist. Interesting one, James, that I'll include the Democrat-Republican voter split. 44-45 on whether or not the Bush administration intentionally misled about weapons of mass destruction. 72% of crazy conspiracy Democrats think Bush lied about WMDs, and only 13% of Republicans think so. And the rest, James, 29% believe in aliens, 14% say the CIA invented the crack epidemic, 9% think the government adds fluoride for sinister reasons, 4% say they believe lizard people control our society, 51%, pretty much the biggest number across the board, 51% of voters say a larger conspiracy was at work in the JFK assassination, and only 25% say Oswald acted alone. 14% believe in Bigfoot, 15% say the government or the media adds mind-controlling technology to TV broadcast signals, 5% believe in chemtrails, 15% believe Big Pharma makes up diseases for more money, 5% think Paul McCartney died in 66, and finally, James, only 11% of voters believe the U.S. government allowed 9/11 to happen. We'll include the links to publicpolicypolling.com and their full PDF. James, any of those you want to pick up and drop?
And in other news, 62% think that oxygen is good for you, 47% believe that sunlight is healthy, and 52% say you need a heart to live. What kind of twaddle is this? Does anyone even think that 9/11? Does anyone even think that we were not lied to about weapons of mass destruction? I'd like to meet those people and have a chat with them about what they think actually happened there. But the list is interesting. I hope people will take a look at it. At any rate, it dispels the notion that people are just mindlessly buying whatever they hear on TV, but some of the things that people mindlessly buy into on the other side of things is somewhat disheartening. So it's quite a mixed grab bag in there. And I agree with some of them and I disagree with others. So I don't know what to draw about it as a general conclusion, except to say that it is somewhat disheartening that only 11% say that 9/11 was allowed to happen by the government. Although one would have to correct for the biases that come up in polls like these when someone is asking you your opinion on a very controversial subject, you're going to tend to clam up. So I guess we can say there's probably a few more than 11%, but still, it's quite a low figure. Other than that, I don't really know what to draw from this other than the fact that at least people are not necessarily buying all the Kool-Aid that they're supposed to be.
I think probably the best comment in the always helpful comment section on this article points out, so basically anything that the mainstream media doesn't talk about or poo-poos is a stupid conspiracy theory.
And hey, well, yeah, that's the best definition of conspiracy theory I've ever read, because that's exactly what it is. It's a rhetorical device that's used to try to put down people who aren't towing the party line. So it's interesting to see that that was conducted via a Democrat-Republican split kind of thing, and trying to parse that, because of course, everyone in the universe can be divided into Democrat or Republican, and that's the only distinction that matters.
And again, like I said, I removed the percentages on all those that I ran down. So, of course, folks go check that out if they want to see more of it. I think the last thing I would say is you can look at it and see that essentially the oldest event, the JFK assassination, is the one that has the highest number of people believing, well, of course, there was a conspiracy. Almost everything else on the list, if not a post 9/11 phenomena, it's become a discussion post 9/11 when, of course, we got all this technology, James, that dudes like you and I could start doing podcasts and radio shows and videos. So I guess if we can wait another 50 years, I think all the numbers on most of those worthwhile points will actually be much, much higher. Our final story this week, James, is an interesting one you pointed to me. We'll take it from PCMag.com. You ready for this? Nokia patent covers a tattoo that vibrates when your phone rings. Unwired View, that is an online news source, has uncovered a patent application that Nokia filed with the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office for a magnetic tattoo that would generate a tingling feeling in your arm when your phone rings. It would feel a bit like an itch and could also be applied to texts, missed calls, low battery warnings, and more. For example, you could set it to warn you when you have an appointment coming up. The patent provides that you would get a tattoo that would be magnetized once it was healed in order to be connected with your device. The application of the patent reads, quote, prior to using the ferromagnetic links for attaching to human skin, the ink material may be exposed to elevated temperatures to cause demagnetization, and it goes on and gets more technical. But there's even some of the figure one, figure two graphics that you can see in this article from PCMag.com. But in closing, the tattoo would require the phone to be able to send out a magnetic signal in order to function properly. It's unclear if and how the tattoo would need to be modified when you upgraded to a different device. Nokia did not immediately respond to questions about the technology. James, that's funny. That was maybe my first question, was like, all the times people change phones and change numbers, what do you have to go get re-tatted? I don't know. What do you think of this?
It's a bizarre story. Well, first I should point out this was sent in by a listener as a suggestion, and the listener was pointing out, well, this must mean that the tattoo is, they're able to find the tattoo at any time. I mean, it means that they are triangulating your position with GPS at any time, because the signal is reaching you at any time. So that's an interesting point. But given that everyone walks around with their cell phones, you know, at their hips anyway, I suppose it doesn't make that much of a difference, because people are ready to be wired, jacked directly into that matrix. And yeah, I mean, when you change your phone number, you have to get a new tattoo. Well, why not? Why not just keep adding them? It's just such a ridiculous concept, because I don't see what the problem is. I don't see why we would need this solution to this problem of hearing a phone ring. I mean, it doesn't make any sense whatsoever to me, except, of course, that it's just one step further towards that breaking down of the barrier between the technology and our bodies. And, of course, the ultimate end goal of all of this technology is to get the brain chip, is to get it implanted directly inside of you. And in order to cross that barrier, which is going to be a psychological barrier to cross, they'll have to start inching the technology closer to your skin and into your skin and then through your skin. So they have to find ways of making it socially acceptable and seem just like a natural progression. And this is one of those ways, I'm sure, that they'll try to work on. And I don't imagine this will be the most popular thing they'll ever introduce, but even if they can just introduce the idea, then they've already done part of the work. So there it is. This is the beginning of the transhumanist model.
And exactly. I was going to joke. Was like, my phone actually came with a button that lets you turn up or down the volume in case you maybe have trouble hearing your phone ring. Or you could just turn the damn thing off altogether. James, our other relateds to this story, Stanford University creates biological transistors. That is the final step towards computers inside living cells. And just the other day, our Prince of Peace Prize, Barry Satoru, launches the initiative to get inside your brain. That's right, President Obama launching the Brain Mapping Initiative. And this is something, actually, that we talked about at Ground Zero about a month ago, and I'll include that article as well. Short circuit, burn out, you're dead. And that is where I'm off to now, James, to Ground Zero.
All right, excellent. Well, let's leave it there for now, then. Three more great stories, so I'm looking forward to three more next week. James, thank you again for your work.
Absolutely. You know, next week is episode 150, and I'll probably say for both of us, James, for folks probably not to expect some grand extravaganza clip show. It'll probably just be another solid episode of three news stories that we believe you're not getting the full story on. So, James, as always, thanks so much, dude. Take care.